Nordic Sustainable Future podcast series, delivered by Nordic Council of Ministers.
Welcome to Nordic Sustainable Future podcast, where today we are speaking about the cyber education. We have three guests in the studio, or two in the studio and one over Zoom connecting with us. Let's do first a quick round of introductions, if you start.
Yes, hello. My name is Greta Godi, and I'm the digital advisor in the organization called Nordic Council of Ministers, office in Estonia.
Hi, my name is Arre Reintam. I'm the chief operating officer at Cybexer Technologies, and my cup of tea is building up cyber trainings and different exercises in cyber education field.
My name is Greta Østby. I am currently working as an advisor at a company called Styrmand AS in Norway. I participated in the cyber education last year as a PhD student, and I will defend my PhD work on the 28th of April and education in cyber security is of course one of the main issues in my thesis.
Good luck with a PhD. And when the audience listens to this podcast, maybe you already have it. And my name is Tarmo Virki. I'm journalist with Estonian business daily Äripäev, and I'll be hosting this discussion. I've covered technology for 20 plus years, but I'm no expert in cyber education, and that's why we have the guests in the studio. So let's start off with the cyber education and children. What makes it important? Why children of today need cyber education?
We see our kids are spending more and more time in internet, in a cyber world. So it's extremely important to be aware of the possibilities, but at the same time, the threats.
If I may also add is that I'm a firm believer that everything what we do must be based on real life scenarios and experience what we have occurred. And I remember, one incident when I was working in Estonian Information System Authority. That's the authority that is responsible for securing Estonian internet for governments and public entities. And what we saw there was that at some point there was a peak of attacks coming from inside of Estonia against different public authorities. For example, RIA, STA, eSchool.ee, some schools and so forth. And then what we saw was that the ones who are attacking are young people aged 12 to 18, and they are all out of, let's say, main city areas. So it means that they're not from, center city of Tallinn, Pärnu, Tartu. They are actually outside of the cities. And the reason behind it is that they don't have anything to do in the evenings. They don't have places to go. They are actually sitting behind a computer in the evening. And what they are then coming out is, outrageous from that angle. And what we saw was that they were, starting to attack different public entities more and more each evening. And then they did a quite good job, yeah. They didn't take down the main systems, of course, but if somebody's poking you all the time, then you have to, turn your attention to them. So the same thing happened with us in the public structures. And then we had even phone numbers of the local police departments that we sent the people over to talk with kids and the parents. But what we saw is that where we are at the moment is that they are using the computers in a way that they are studying it with it. You can't go to school anymore in any place of the world that you don't use computers. If you use computers, then you might find some tricky, programs how to do also bad things. And they are using it. And now the problem was that they were able to attack us, but they were not able to actually hide themselves where they are attacking us. And we saw that issue, and then we started already tackle it from the government point of view. Just as an example.
Greta, do you see similar examples in Norway?
Yes, of course, not only Norway, but over the whole world now. It's a lack of competence, a lack of knowledge on cybersecurity, and it's important that we focus on this as a part of any type of computer learning. And we see that Generation Z, as we call it, they're all into gaming. And both mostly boys, but also girls. And we can see that these, when they are doing this gaming, it's war gaming, of course, but it is also a way of learning. And we have this rather nice thing from the Peace Institute in Norway, where they launched a learning program to learn about the Peace Prize in a typical system that the Generation Z is using. By doing that in the classroom, things switched. So the boys were actually teaching the girls. And this is a rather interesting thing, that it's a way of learning to use gaming. And gaming, as it's written a lot about the gaming in these days, and to use gaming as a sort of learning environment is the foundation for Generation Z to learn cybersecurity, I guess. And that's why this both cybercation and the forum is so important for us, to be able to collaborate on how can we use gaming in learning environments, and how can we use and how can we learn from each other to have the best learning in environments.
Is gaming basically the solution, or are there other ways to basically teach this Generation Z, which seems to be the challenge?
I believe that gaming is one thing, but that's one type of exercise. What I have studied, even though that is more targeted to people or students who are a bit older, triple loop learning, we are able to both do some type of exercise in the learning environment, but it can be discussion exercises. It doesn't have to be gaming. It can be full-scale exercises. It can be different type of exercises. But the triple loop, that's where they can evaluate what they do themselves so they can teach others. And that's also a part of this. But that's those youths are a little bit older than the ones we are talking about today. But I believe that this can be transferred into also the younger children.
Absolutely. We've heard a few times the word cybercation. I'm sure there are people online who listen to this and never heard about the word. Would someone from here in the studio want to explain what is cybercation?
Yes, I'm gladly to do so. But in order to explain it, I must start from a bit further away, where it all started and why. I start, since I'm the representative of Nordic governments, the Nordic Council of Ministers, that is intergovernmental cooperation organization that has several sectors to cooperate. And the Baltics officially is not included. But some years ago, since our societies are getting more and more digitalized, and this integration is also very important and governments are working on, then the digitalization cooperation is the one and only sector where all the eight countries, the Nordic and all the three Baltic countries, are officially working on a ministerial level. So that means several initiatives with the main focus of integrating our region to become more competitive and also resilient. So there are many initiatives focused on working out cross-border digital services, digital innovation aimed to companies, but also implementation of the EU digital single market. So this is the overall general background. And for our perspective, voice representative of all five Nordic countries in Estonia, we looked at, okay, what can we do in order to to reach that goal. Obviously, we are not a high-tech, hardcore organization who can build up those cross-border products or services. But if we are lacking the one element from this fundament, that is security, then there is no value of creating those cross-border services or any initiative heading to those main three goals. So we saw that there is a very huge niche that we can contribute into. And when the Cybexer Technologies was approaching us with a proposal to help to build up the partnerships in the Nordic countries, we were straight away on board and also thought that, okay, it's not only us, it also concerns Latvia and Lithuania. And now, today, that happens a few years ago, but today we understand it's not only economical or social issue, it is a security issue as well in our region. And since we are global range, we are lacking the cyber workforce. Are, you can probably back me up on this this challenge that it's not only a challenge that Nordic Baltics are facing, it's a global challenge. And if we are really consciously putting our backs together and we are working on together, then I think that we can have a really competitive edge in this and really to build up this talent pool into our region. I think it's extremely important. When we started to cooperate with Cyber Battle Nordic Baltics, that was 2 years ago. In a wider scale, we came in last year. We understood that, okay, if we are bringing the youngsters from all seven countries to Estonia to beat in a good way with each other, and they will probably have supervisors, educational coaches with them, we understood that, okay, we could give a beneficial, I'll say, output for them as well. And then we created the Cybercation. But that started to roll as a snowball, because when I did a little research on the cyber educational situation in each of Nordic countries, then I came up with what I saw was that the cyber security is on a high agenda in each and every country's defense policy, but when I started to look what is included in our educational curriculums, then cyber education as such was totally missing. So the reality, again, Nara, you can correct me. it's a kind of a self-made study here. But if I saw that, or the conclusion where I came to was that actually all those talents and the skill, our so highly valued workforce has found their way kind of to the top on their own. So if we want to sustain a sustainable, secure, resilient societies, we have to deal with the problem from a root on. And that starts from this educational sector. So the Cybercation was born, the educational forum for the cyber security for the Nordic Baltic countries. And last year, we gathered all the main university representatives from all the eight countries. But we also understand that it's not enough only if the educational sector is coming together and discussing and changing their best practices. We also have to include the civil servants, educational policymakers, but also the private sector, the companies, because the sector is developing so rapidly fast and we have to integrate them. We have to cooperate on this. We have to keep the dialogue open. And we as a Nordic Council of Ministers office in Estonia, we saw that this is where we can offer a platform that the real content-based cooperation can kick off. So this is what we are doing and this is what we will plan to continue next years.
Aare, I think that was clearly a ball towards you to explain what's the kind of private sector take on this. You're short of educated staff. Do you need to teach all the youth of Nordics to, you know, be skilled on cybersecurity?
I wish that that would be our honor to do that, and we are working hard towards that. Say that this is a good initiative, and from different angles, who are able to tackle it first, then we get, let's say, the advantage. And and in this sense, as already mentioned beforehand, is that we have a lack of specialists in IT, in general IT. And now even if we look at the IT from the wider perspective, is that if we already have lack of IT engineers in regular business IT, then let's look up operational technology, the critical services that run on, then we need to look about the security. And what was also mentioned, what is second aspect, is that one thing is that we learn on our own under the mentorship of the teachers or then in the IT experts. Then if we combine them together and we take the educational persons and some IT people who have a strong experience and put them together and work out, let's say, curriculum and hands-on activities, what they have to do and how they have to do, then this actually helps us to boost the environment. And Grete was mentioning about the wargaming. Then I have one example of the real-life wargaming is that when I visited one of my colleagues, and after the, you know, nice dinner, then the laptop started to appear on the table. And then I opened up one of them, and what I was looking for was that it was a Windows operating system. There was a 14-year-old girl who was administrator. Both parents were regular users, and a 14-year-old girl did parental controls over the parents. So this is where we actually are. And now it is good that we are there. But the question is that if we don't unify that in a way that it's reasonable and everybody knows what their actions are, then it might harm somebody. Yeah? So if we train them properly with the proper mindset and activities, then I think that it will help not only from the IT perspective, but the whole life, the analytical, let's say, performance and so forth. So it's a very good initiative.
But you're sure that the 14-year-old girl was not more cyber savvy than the parents?
In that family, yes, it was so. And I will bring one more example. So in Estonia, we have this kind of e-school system. Yes? And there is a story that there was one IT savage boy. He was 15 years old. The mother was not able to log into e-school.ee system from the home environment. So the boy was smart enough to direct this traffic to a different page and got the error message. And I have to say that now that this guy is working in our company, and I would say that he's the best paid engineer and also the best and smart engineer that we have. So, and again, on the age 15, mother was worried because the grades went down, but the IT skills went up, and now, you know, he's one of the best. But again, he didn't get the training, he got there on his own. And now we try to spread this kind of, let's say, attitude, mindset together with our friends from educational and different authorities to actually boost it up.
Yes, if I may just add, I think it's very important to show the youngsters as well that it's not only the white against the black or the dark forces, that actually they have a career opportunities, and they can really use their adrenaline for the good purpose. And that's why the cyber battle as such is also focused on the youngsters between age 15 to 24, because in a couple of years, they will be the active workforce on the market.
Mm-hmm. Grete, maybe you are the best person to describe where we are today in that kind of Nordic-Baltic regional cyber education. We've understood that there's a problem. How far we are on the road to actually start solving it?
Well, I actually believe that we have the initiatives that are needed. We are doing this kind of gatherings in all the countries. We are creating competitions. We are the European Cybersecurity Challenge will be here in this region in Norway, and we have there are focus on these things in the schools. So it's not that it's non-existent. It's just that we need to see the bigger picture. We have to be the adults ones who says that, okay, we need to focus on not only this type of capture the flag games, as we call it, where there are competitions, but that we actually look at the future. What do we want to learn? For instance, risk management. It sounds strange that a child should learn risk management, but they should be aware of what's going on and what can happen and how what they do, how that can affect organizations and how it can affect the society around them. As one of you were mentioning here now, some of these youngsters, they are much better than we were at this age. But still, we will need them. We will need them to learn the specifics. For instance, forensics, biometrics, how all of this works, and how can we bring this into the games. And I believe it's only the schools who can do that. And it's in the learning environment we can use what they already know, but we can transfer it into all those specifics within information and cybersecurity.
So talking about cybersecurity educators, why it's important to build a network?
It's a good question. But what we are facing, or what we got to know from the first year when the, or last year then, when the educators met, it was clear that they need to also be informed what is going on in other countries. What kind of practices are implemented, how it's the studies are sold in other universities, schools, on different levels. So we saw that all the educators that were involved were highly interested of hearing from their colleagues. And for example, Aalto University in Finland, they used a network that was gathered at the spot. They used the network to build up their own curricula, including the gamifying hacking elements. So as we see, the cybercation can serve different goals. First of all, the awareness raising part, and second, really hands-on solutions. Because everyone are valuing their time very highly. So it's no point just to bring people together to chit-chat, but really it's serving multiple purposes.
I would also like to add is what we have seen from that perspective, from the private sector point of view, is that everybody's working in the silos. And again, the same thing, that we are naive if we think that we are doing it on our own. So, for example, the same, even in Estonia, if we take two universities, for example, Tartu and Tallinn, then they have the same people work and build up different education modules and trainings. And now if we look into Latvia, Norway, Sweden and Finland, the same situation occurs everywhere. And now why this kind of, let's say, cyber battle of Nordic Baltics is a good example. It actually builds the community and brings together the builders from different countries. They can see that we are all doing actually the same thing. And now what I see as a company representative, as a personal, you know, individual, I see that the future lies on the ones who start federating their curriculums with others. And what it means is that, for example, if I'm a good Windows machine builder and trainer, then I should do my Windows stuff and I should share it with Norwegian universities or Finnish universities. And if they have good, let's say, I don't know, Linux or some kind of WordPress solutions or any other technologies, then every single one goes as a specialized, let's say, trainer. Everybody's doing their own bits and pieces, and now we can federate all these kind of things together. And how we are doing it in Cyber Battle of Nordic Baltics is that we are taking, for example, this year, a smart city solution. We bring the builders together from different countries and they can see that how they can contribute firstly and then how they can benefit out of it. That everybody, you know, you build your traffic light, you build, sensors for noise, you build some kind of sewer system. And now if we actually put them together, then a city comes together. If you want to do it one by one, and if we can now take, you know, one system you train for 2 weeks, you have different systems, you rotate that among each other, then we have several years of curriculum together. So that's the beauty of it.
From my perspective, it's also the gathering itself. Because what happened was that not only during the lectures and the talks we had, the discussions and the questions and the interest in what the different countries are doing were there, but the discussions were in the breaks. It was beforehand. It was after, and I think we continued until we got to the airport the day after, and the discussion was about this. It was not about everything else. It was this we were talking about. And as there are so few of us who are doing, our teachers and are in this area, this field, it's very nice to meet up and talk and exchange experiences and also knowledge we have gained from what we do. So it was excellent opportunity, actually, to meet up with others who are focusing on the same things. And it was very beneficial to me to get to know these people and listen to what they're doing and gain ideas for the future job we are going to do. So I would recommend this to everyone who wants to participate, because it was so, the gathering was so nice, and it's important to have those type of discussions and gatherings to gain ideas and push forward new knowledge into the existing learning environments we are in.
I have to ask, continuing from this, next event is in November. What should the people be looking for?
Yes, we will continue basically the same line of keeping on building up the collaboration network. And we want to focus on a sustainable and resilient cyber secure society, and how to learn cyber through gamification. But I would just like to add to Aare and Grete that, for example, our Danish colleagues who are very strong in this cyber gamification, and who are really trying to include it, this teaching also in their curriculas, in educational curriculas. And when I was in conversation with them to include them more deeply into our network, it was so easy. They said that they're one of the flagships. They are doing really good in this sector. And I would assume that they wouldn't actually need anyone. They have gone pretty far. And their teams who are competing in those competitions, they are performing pretty well. They have very good national initiatives, training hundreds and thousands of youngsters. And they are popularizing the sector as well. But they said, we are very much interested in this international collaboration, and not only to meet once a year. They even propose to have intranet or some kind of a think tank portal where we could gather all our educational, materials, or like, as you said, it has this portal, mm-hmm. like whatever the format mm-hmm. is. But there is a clear message that even the countries are performing super good, they are still interested in this networking. And we have to use this opportunity. I'm really bold in my expression at the moment, but because Estonia, we are standing in a pretty good situation at the moment. We have lots of companies, IT tech companies in Estonia. We have to use the momentum. We had those needs already yesterday, two years ago, but now we really have to move on together.
To put it into maybe a little bit bigger perspective, you know, we have a war next door. How much this has had an impact on the need for the region's cybersecurity cooperation?
Huge. It is just tremendous when the war broke up, and it's sad that we need to cover this in this kind of podcast, but it's essential because it has changed a lot, especially from the cooperation side. And also we need to understand that there are formalities always when we share the cooperation. And now when this kind of situation happened, and what we saw was that everybody wanted to share information, but now we didn't have the procedures in place, not even procedures, but also the technical solutions. And when you start getting information from different channels, then there is so much information on the table that which is important, how you aggregate this, how you actually make reasonable outcomes out of the data sets that are coming in. So all these kind of problems piled up immediately. And we are lucky enough to also operate in Ukraine from the start of the war and train the military cadets and military personnel in Ukraine. And what we have seen is that we can now truly say that train as your fight actually happens in this country. And now we, again, as I already started the podcast with the idea that we always need to take the real-life scenarios on the baselines, then the same baseline is taken to this cyber battle of Nordic and Baltics this year as well. How we do it, how we train, what we train, it has to be useful for the future as well. And there is one other mark that I actually want to come back and say also, that the cooperation what we are doing is perfect public-private partnership from that angle. And I wish that it would be easier, but actually it's not. So for us as a private company, going to the Danish, Norwegian universities and explaining that we have a very good platform, we are able to build up the most perfect, let's say, hands-on labs in the world at the moment, then nobody trusts us. But if we have umbrella organization that is doing the cooperation and helps us to build the trust and take us to them and them to us, then this is the best, let's say, community building event that I have seen over the years. And that's the reason why we like to push it forward. But coming back to the war, it's sad that it happens. It always, war has cons and pros. The pros is that we can actually see what are the problems and we can always fix them.
Yes, I would like to comment on that as well. I really like that we have this rolling discussion on that. I must say that officially the defense policy is not part of the Nordic cooperation. But we see that the life change can change very quickly. The COVID-19 was a warm-up that pushed the digital development further a lot, many, many, many years than we would have expected. And as Juhara mentioned, that we are lacking the procedures, we are lacking the infrastructure, how we could, like, as a region, as a small countries, as we eight are, how we can, like, actually react, operate, defend, or to build up our resilience, then therefore the cooperation is essential. And as I said, that this defense policy is not part of our agenda, then today, 2023, we cannot look over it. We are doing this through soft activities.
Absolutely. And now I think after Sweden joins, everybody's in NATO, right?
Seems so.
Looking forward, if we kind of come back with a bigger picture of the cybersecurity and cyber education, what do you guys see as the big challenges? Maybe, Greta, you start from the Norway and the university and the science side.
Well, the biggest challenge is that we don't have enough specialists. So we need to educate more people to be able to meet the challenges ahead of us. By learning, by finding the best learning environments to do that, and also be able to combine cybersecurity, information security, and crisis management. I believe it's essential for the future to understand that, okay, it might not be the IT department who are responsible in an organization. It is actually a management group or is even a governmental responsibility to some extent. And by have strategies in all the countries that, okay, we want to focus on this. This is important for the future. As cybersecurity, you know, is also on NATO's list, one of the warfare points on NATO's list of how we can do war. It's of course natural to implement training on how to do war in the education system. It's a requirement as long as we are a part of NATO. But how we do it and how we can exchange knowledge from the diversity of learning environments in the Nordic region, that's the important part here, and how we can collaborate on the initiative here, to use these initiatives to meet up and gain knowledge from each other, not only from the academic communities, but from private companies, from public organizations, which I have targeted in my PhD, and then see how can this knowledge we have, how can we bring that into the educational system? How can we do it? That's our challenge, and we need to focus on that also forward on.
I think that we have a huge challenge in front of us. And why I think so is that from the educational point of view, as Greta already mentioned, is that we have a huge skills gap from the personal side. Yeah? So we don't have enough specialized engineers who are able to work. But besides of that we have, let's say, lack of, skilled people, we also have a problem with technology. And I'm now explaining what problem we have with technology is that we have technology, for example, in the space. When we send out the space shuttle, then it will be there 30 years. When we build up sewer systems, the systems underneath on the ground will be there 25 years. The smart meters that private companies are buying must work 25 years, then it is a return of investment. 25 years. Can you imagine all the protocols, messaging, connectivity, everything will change according to this time. So it will, so now I'm looking skills gap, I'm looking the technologies gap, and now taking into account that every day we produce new technology, but the old vulnerabilities and legacy systems don't go away. Now, we as a defenders or part of this society, we need to tackle systems that were operational 30 years ago, systems that are operational now, and now tackling all this kind of skills gap is the main challenge that we need to overcome. How to overcome that is, there is no silver bullet for that. But what we in cybersecurity technologies, what we are building is that we are building a testing ground, cyber range platform, where we can test, validate, educate. Already from the smart, young people, specialists, university students. And this is the lifelong learning what we are now chasing. And we need to tackle it. There is no need to buy €5 million expenditure for a security tool that actually nobody is able to configure properly and do the data with the data something valuable that it actually collects. So this is the system that we are, tackling. And now we try to do this also in this project and with this in cooperation with educational people, with, public servants to actually overcome with this and find and build up a platform where we could tackle with these kind of issues and boost it in a way that at least we are aware and we know how to overcome over it.
to me, the biggest challenge is clock speed. Education system, by definition, is not fast. At least that's my understanding. Please correct me if I'm wrong. While digital space and the cyberspace and the cyber criminals are, they are, you know, faster than the speed of light. Mm-hmm. How do you overcome that challenge?
It is hard. It is hard. And now again, coming back to this kind of educational models, and Grete can prove me wrong or support me, is that I think that educational model is also nowadays changing rapidly. And what we have seen with the universities, and also in this project when we are doing together with, let's say, people from education areas, is that they are pushing more hands-on activities to the people. The more you know, and also the mindset, how you teach them, that you need to be able to use ChatGPT, Google, how to Google properly, how to select the data, how to do the analytics. So this is the thing that we need to change, not the paradigmas from the way that we need to, you know, deal with this certain thing, but actually we need to change our mindset in the future. And if we teach it already from the youngsters what we want to do in the cyber battle of Nordics and Baltics, then this helps our society in near future, by the way, to tackle these kind of problems in a different dimension that we maybe in behind this table and in this podcast are not able to, let's say, see.
We're going to Norway now.
There are a couple of things I'm thinking about in this regard. And we can talk about ChatGPT, but we have to learn the students to think for themselves. And that will be a huge challenge forward on how to think and how to overcome challenges. It's a lot of focus on that these days in school and in the educational forums. So it's not that it's not discussed, but that's the challenge that we need to make them think for themselves. And the second thing I'm thinking about is, I had a student who got an article, it became a publication, that was the readiness in the forensic readiness in IoT is important, because now the elderly, for instance, they have a lot of technological equipment at home to help them out, but any hacker can go into these systems and target the homes of these elderly. And that's a dangerous thing we can look into. But I had this student who have this publication about forensics readiness in the systems. And he created a risk assessment model for AI to be able to prepare. And it should be maybe even by law a thing that should be there to be allowed to even sell those systems, that they should be forensic ready. And that means that they should be, that any investigators should be able to come and investigate and trace what's going on in the systems. And these are also challenges that we'll look into, and that's why I'm saying that it's not only the war game, it's the forensics, it's the biometrics systems, it's cryptography, right? All of those things that are within the field of information security that we need to also learn and see how they impact each other. So it was a good input with the AI here, and I believe there are jobs who are going on at this very minute to try to challenge these things. But we need to talk to each other across the information security diversity of teaching as well.
Mm, absolutely, and that talking will definitely continue also before then November Cybercation. Grete, you want to start wrapping up the discussion?
Yes, I would just like to comment on both of you, Grete and Aare. I'm actually a little bit outsider from this tech world. I'm really stunned that actually 1 year ago we didn't speak about AI in this field that strongly. But today, 1 year later, we see less than a year, half a year later, we see it's a big thing. So, but I just wanted to comment on that, how we are training those youngsters who are coming to the Nordic Baltic Cyber Battle. This finals it's a gloomy and really awesome production that every youngsters would like to experience. But actually, our focus is more on the boot camps. On the boot camps where we're really training them, or at least Cybexer Technologies is training, not us. We are at least trying to get the youngsters on board. And last year, we had some 300 youngsters from Nordic and Baltic countries, excluding Estonia. And we had some 500 from Estonia, I guess. So it means that almost 800 youngsters to try out their skills, to get acquainted, what does it mean actually to solve a real life problem? And at least what kind of feedback we got as a governmental organization was that some schools or some youngsters said that actually we understood that we are not ready at all. We thought that our studies are pretty strong, but like we are not capable even of solving those semi-final tasks. And that's why we want to give this platform that they can test, they can try out, get acquainted. What is it? I have tried to solve a few of those challenges. Extremely addictive, I must say, and my IT skills are softly said poor. So I think it's very good to also learn from the youngsters, actually, if all those new technologies, AI and others are coming on board, what is up there, what's going on there?
That's the mystery we are wrapping up today's discussion with. Thanks for listening.